always tuning in. We've got you to thank for that. And thanks for listening via your radio, via the app, via the website, watching online. We appreciate everything that you do and will not let you down. Now, let's continue to get you informed and, of course, educated. Right now, let's talk state of the nation in security is our focus. Because right now, I've got plenty and loads of questions. Thankfully, I have an expert on the show this morning that would try and provide answers to those questions. One of those questions is, should the Nigerian governors, especially from the northwest, north central, northeast, go ahead, approach the federal government to hire mercenaries to confront these unending attacks by bandits and terrorists and whatever name you want to call them? And is it that Nigeria doesn't have capable military that can fight terrorism headlong, which has been a serious issue over a decade now in the country? Now, why should government seek support from external agencies or external body? Why? Maybe we do need that support. Just maybe, because a number of Nigerians have been calling on the government to hire mercenaries to help end the insurgency following the unending killings of innocent civilians, even soldiers. Policemen are there as well in the middle. So you could name states like Borno, Niger, Kebbi, Zamfara, and Sokoto from the northwest, north central, north east as being victims of terrorism and banditry. After a meeting with President Muhammadu Buhari at the State House last week Friday, Governor Nasiru El-Rufai of Kaduna State, whose state is seeing series of attacks from terrorists, hinted that the governors may be deploying the external forces in bringing terrorism to zero. According to El-Rufai, let me quote what he said. I have complained to Mr. President, and I swear to God, if action is not taken, we as governors will take actions to protect the lives of our people. If it means deploying foreign mercenaries to come and do the work, we will do it to address these challenges. End quote. As expected, El-Rufai's comment has seen different reactions. And we are not going to shy away from, giving our own platform to that conversation. I have joining us this morning former DSS director, who is also the CEO of Apex Safety and Security Consultant, Mike Ejiofor, joins us via telephone this morning. Thank you so much, Mr. Mike, for calling, for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start by saying that, where do we stand in the fight against terrorism? Are we in good standing? Are we trying? Or have we shown that we are incapable of tackling terrorism in our nation?
Well, I wouldn't say we are incapable because we can recall that the people who are fighting this war, the military and the all the security forces, are Nigerians who have dedicated their lives and to the service of the fatherland. And I wouldn't think they want to fail in their chosen profession. But you see, one thing we should realize is that terrorism is a global threat. It's not peculiar to Nigeria. But why we're worried is that the rising spirit of insecurity in Nigeria, some of them are not global. We have our local challenges, which I believe can be solved with our local solutions, which is what we are not applying. And for the governor of Kaduna State,
yes,
to come out and say that he will, along with other governors, not hire mercenaries, that will show you the rate of frustration and desperation, with the concern to seeing how the matter could be resolved. I will not give a straight answer whether we should hire mercenaries or not. But I believe that if we have to hire mercenaries, it has to be in concert with the federal government. And I'm not seeing the federal government taking the initiative. you recall that about 2014, 2016, the federal government hired a mercenary, which was nominated by this government, and I think they were making progress. So to support the issue of getting mercenaries to help us, mercenaries are not just coming with bare hands. They are coming with technological support, like drones and all this. You recall the effort made by the United States when one of the citizens was kidnapped in Niger and brought to Nigeria.
Right.
The victim was rescued and the kidnapper killed. And so with that kind of approach, I think we need to collaborate more and then get some of this mercenaries, though it has its own disadvantage. Some people will say they come and take over government. I don't see them taking over government. What about the allegation that these people who are fighting us in Nigeria now are from outside the country? They are not Nigerians. In fact, the victims from the train attack confirmed that some of these people don't speak Nigerian language. They don't speak. They confirmed they are not Nigerians.
That's right.
So if that outsiders who are fighting us, what is wrong with our looking for outsiders to help us? In fact, like I said, the Nigerian military, anywhere they go outside the world, they are just the best. So why are we not succeeding now in our own problems?
Why do you think so? Why do you think that we get laurels, medals outside when we go out, but when it's time to confront our own evils, we can't do it?
It's because of the environment and the equipment in those areas. Nigerian military, they are very well trained. And but if you see, you will determine what you have in terms of all this. We have the military that is ill-equipped, underfunded, and we have sounded like broken records.
Exactly.
Every day we say the military is underfunded, the security forces are underfunded. So we should prioritize our security. Collaborate more with international donors and other countries to see the more support we can get. You recall that the United States and some of these people who were in the black book because of human rights abuses. That was also what gave rise to this escalation of this crisis during the past PDP government. The United States, for instance, refused to sell arms to Nigeria because of human rights abuses, which was incurred during the military, the Lee agreement. And now, the measures have been relaxed somehow, which led to purchase of the Tucano, which have not all been supplied. And the Tucanos were given on a condition that should not be used to abuse their human rights.
Right.
And ask, why do we get it if we cannot deploy immediately adequately until eventually the bandits or whatever they are called were classified and designated as terrorists? So my question is, since they have been so designated, why are we still waiting in going on the offensive on these people? I believe that we don't have, I'm not saying on authority because I've not done any audit of the military hardware, especially in terms of effective drones.
Right.
But I believe that if we have effective drones, we should be able to monitor when these people are taking off, because they move in hundreds in bikes. So when they move, if we have effective drones, I think the only reasonable thing to do is for them for their Air Force, Air Force, to go out and get these people smoothed out and bombed.
Mr. Mike, just to add to what you're saying and to ask this question, Governor Orufai, while speaking, said that the issue of the terrorists, former bandits, now terrorists, is not for lack of intelligence. That we have intelligence as to where they are. We have intelligence as to how they move. Because like you said, these people don't move in ones or twos, they move in hundreds. And he couldn't fathom why the security agencies can't go and confront them. You are an expert in this field. What do you think could possibly or remotely be responsible for this?
Well, I think many reasons could be adduced. One is unsubstantiated allegation of the political will, lack of political will on part of government. And if you ask, what is the lack of political will, they tell you the body language of the president and others, which is neither here nor there. Then two, if we don't have the necessary deployment of technology, there's nothing you can do. If you go and confront these people, it means you are going there on suicide mission. And lives are being wasted. Both military is being attacked, civilians are being attacked, everywhere. So nobody is safe. I think what we should do, I think I have to, in fact, go on personal investigation to know. Because I know that I have some effective drones that can supply real data. But the supply all this is, you send proposals to government. Let us try this. Either they don't reply you or it's not my personal problem. It's a national problem.
That's right.
Everybody is concerned that this war must come to an end. Because without development, without security, they can't be developed. And without development, there's no security. So in every sector of our economy, every political, social, economic, is grinding to a halt. And everybody must be concerned to see how this matter is resolved.
If you're just joining us, you're welcome. Mike Ejiofor is former DSS director. He joins us via telephone this morning on the Morning Crossfire. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. And let's know what you think as well on our conversation this morning. We're looking at insecurity, state of the nation. Mr. Mike, let's focus squarely now on the train attack in Kaduna. As a security expert, when you heard that story, and from what you've seen ever since that attack, what can you tell us? I mean, what is it that you can share as to what could have possibly happened, right from, you know, infiltration to whatever it is you can share with us? Because there have been quite a number of angles in the public space, and you're an expert. I like hearing from experts. What do you think could have happened before, during, and after that attack?
Well, you see, I don't want to go to the intricacies of intelligence gathering. You see, there are two things. One, for you to obtain intelligence, and one, to secondly, to act on the intelligence. It's not like Erufai said. The intelligence is available. These locations of these people are known. There are intercepts on the phone. I don't just want to go into details because this is a public domain. But again, since El-Rufai confirmed the existence of all this, the Minister of Transportation also confirmed that they had information. The Managing Director of Railway Corporation also confirmed they had the intelligence that this was good. Don't also forget that this is not the first attack. There was an attack last year, late last year. And so it was not unexpected that this attack was going to come, but whether it would have come in this magnitude is what people didn't know. Because, you see, another major problem is that these bandits are not just bandits. From my own personal investigation, these are people who are trained, like the military too. They have their own cells. They have their intelligence. In fact, you look at the organogram, it's structured like the military. So they also study what the what the security agencies are doing. If we fail to act, you know, on intelligence provided, who is to blame? I cannot also blame the military, because you don't go frontally with these people who are armed with their number to go and face them. The only solution I think can bring this is deployment of the Air Force. Don't also forget that these people have also brought down an aircraft, Air Force aircraft.
Mm.
Mm. Now, Kaduna is cut off, both by rail, by air, by road. Everybody is scared going to Kaduna and all these problems.
What do you think would be the ultimate? What do you think could be the ultimate motive? Because that question is also here in my presence as to why Kaduna.
Yeah, you see, Kaduna is very strategic. With all the military institutions around, you have Defense Academy, you have divisions there, you have so many strategic locations. Don't also forget that Kaduna was the capital of the Northern Region.
Hmm.
Now, if these people succeed in taking over Kaduna or making the area ungovernable, it becomes easier for them to overrun other parts of the country. Now, you see, no part of the country is safe. South, south, southeast, only 2 days ago in my town, 13 people from Enugu precisely, 13 people were released, and one of the kidnappers killed with AK-47. And he asked, how easy is it for these people to be operating freely? If we agree that they are strangers, they are not operating in that area, then they have local collaborators, which is what we must also try to identify and bring the change.
Hmm.
It's a very complex situation. Very complex indeed. And the earlier we, like I said, the only thing that can save us is to get deployment of
the Air Force.
Technology. Hmm. In the Air Force needs to be involved in this fight. Otherwise, this will be having a field day and riding a rough shot on everybody.
Indeed. Let's go to the telephone lines and take some few thoughts. Before we go to break, we are almost due for a break. We'll take one or two calls, hear from them, and then we go to break and return to continue with our conversation. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the lines we are working with. The first one is for the male callers. Second is for the female callers. 8:21 going on 22. It's time for our studios. Please turn off your radio if you're calling. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Captain Lee.
It's Mr. Mike Ejiofor.
I am really, really, listening to Captain now, I'm really, really worried at what is happening.
Mm.
And the question remains, why Kaduna? I want to ask him, are the Tucano jets parked in Kaduna? Do we have all our military apparatus in Kaduna? Because when I remember when OBJ, when General Obasanjo was in power, he tried to decentralize the military. And when this president came back, he brought everything back to the north. My fear is this. Do we have all our military, everything in Kaduna?
Hmm.
If Kaduna is taken, it means Nigeria is gone. So please, I want him to react to that. Do we have everything packed and stored in Kaduna?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Mike?
I don't think everything is stored in Kaduna. It's not possible. You can't put all your eggs in one basket.
Hmm.
And you remember that some of them were deployed to Maiduguri Northeast.
That's right.
That is getting a little stable now compared to what is happening in Northwest.
Mm.
And we'll have some. I don't work in the Air Force, but I believe that they are all distributed in different places. They can't be all in Kaduna.
Mm.
It's not possible.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is effective deployment of these machines.
Okay.
To check the problem we're having. That's what I'm making.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can take another call before our break. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good morning to your guest, sir. Hey, see, my own take is just that. See, Mr. Sheriff, our leaders are just shameless. Do you know why I said that? In 1983, even as a child then, I could remember, Radio Nigeria, or your state that time, when the same set of leaders are there now, topple the government of Alhaji Oshagari, it was basically because of insecurity and corruption. Then you ask, I mean, this same man that did that to such a government that truncated even the second term of Alhaji Latif Jackson at that time, is there right now? I mean, shouldn't are people just so forget history so easily like that? Kaduna have been there, both by road and by air, has not less than, I think, 11 military bases, including schools, you know, trainings like that. And how has it now become the headquarters for banditry?
Thank you.
And also of criminality.
Thank you for your thought. I really do appreciate it. Mr. Mike, please stay with me, okay? We have some messages for our listeners, and we'll be right back. Stay here, Lagos.
This is an infomercial.
You can join and watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. Mr. Mike, thank you again for joining us this morning on the show.
Thank you.
I think we can expand this conversation to now we're saying Kaduna. Kaduna is northwest. We have north central. We have northeast. As you said earlier, that at least the situation there is a bit, just a bit under control. But do you see what happened in the northeast happen again in the northwest and north central? If care is not taken, that is.
Well, if care is not taken, it's most likely to restock it. But I think all efforts should be concentrated on the north west now, because I think it was the heat that was turned on to the northeast that drove them up to this area, and where they established their own area of operation. Now concentrating on kidnapping, blowing up. You know, like in the northeast, they were just busy kidnapping people, collecting money. But this one destroyed critical infrastructure. This real cause of concern. You know, blowing up a train, attacking the airport, shooting down aircraft. It's gone beyond what we thought was actually happening. And that is why the need, these bandits need to be profiled, because the precision in which they use, you know, in terms of arms management and all this, it shows that they must have been infiltrated either by serving or there's a serving military people, or there's a connivance with retired people. These are possibilities, which I think the government needs to look at very constantly and establish a link. Because one is scared, you know, having been in this field for a very long time, the precision with which they shoot and operate or undetected becomes very, very disturbing, even though there are details on their activities from the intelligence services. You need to also just assist. All the agencies are operating under very difficult conditions in terms of them. You see, why we are worried, why everybody is talking about security, is that without security, there won't be any meaningful development.
That's
you look at our politics, look at the economy. No one is doing well. No part of the country, in terms of social, economic, political, is doing well. So security should not be singled out.
Would you say we don't have security, we will not go to any place? Would you say we are currently in a state of war?
It couldn't have been said better. We are in a state of war, and it requires very urgent and decisive action to see that this is brought to an end. Don't also forget that very soon, campaigns will start, and these people will be ready tools in the hands of politicians. Apart from the fact that the majority of our security challenges are generated by politicians. So I want to also use this opportunity to appeal to our politicians who make inflammatory statements, not thinking of what to say, the consequences of what they say, to trace softly. Because this country belongs to all of us. If this country is dismantled, I don't think the politicians will have anybody to govern or campaign to. So that's why they should be very careful in their utterances. which are capable of claiming passports to the country. Now that we are talking about insurgency, terrorism, very soon, probably, and all the allied political crises will join. And it becomes a very complex matter on our side.
Wow.
So I'm worried. I'm very, very worried on the trend that's going on.
I'm glad that you went into, you came to the South, because that's my next question. I was going to ask you that we should further expand our conversation this morning. This entire thing started from the North East and now Northwest, North Central. North Central is very close to the South. What should the South do? What should the government of the South do? What should the federal government do in making sure that whatever it is that is happening, it's not that it's not been happening in the South anyways, if we're being honest, but then to stop it from degenerating to that level, what can be done?
You see, what is happening apart from all these bandits that are operating in the South, especially in the Southwest. You know that in Ondo State, for instance,
yes,
the government established Amuteto.
That's right.
And that helped in checking the activities of these bandits. But my worry is not about bandits. It's not that it's not worrying, though, about bandits in the South. But my problem is the political problems in the South. You have agitations in the Southwest, you have agitations in the Southeast. These are political problems that require political solutions. And don't also forget that these agitations will even come up more during these electionary campaigns, especially if the political parties, especially the two major political parties, APC and the PDP,
right,
if they don't handle their primary very well, I see a situation where the desperate and people, politicians who feel that they must get power by all means will decamp. And once they decamp, we have also aligned security challenges coming up with it. So I think our politicians should think about the country. For me, as far as I'm concerned, politics is about service to the nation. But if you kill the people we are going to serve, is there any country left for you to govern? So I think the most important thing I suggest is that politicians should think more of the country, not of themselves, especially in handling of their primaries, which is likely to generate a lot of conflict.
Right.
And the main election.
Right.
The campaign. If you go into the campaigns with all this fragmentation and challenges with all the crises, the possibility of these bandits being used as thugs to further their interests cannot be ruled out.
Indeed. Mr. Mike, let's go to the telephone once again and take some few thoughts before I talk to you about something you mentioned in the first part, and that's funding for the security architect, for the security infrastructure in the country. We'll talk more about that, but let's take some calls first. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904, the female callers. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. I can see your comments on Facebook and on YouTube. I'll come and take them in a moment, but let's take some calls. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning. We can hear you. Please go on.
Yeah, thank you. It's concerning the issue on the ground. I want to know, these people that are bombing the airports everywhere and bandits, kidnapping people, are they Nigerians? Where are they coming from? How are they getting all these people that they are coming in such number, 200, 150, 50, and they are entering all the communities and be killing people, killing Nigerians, their own people. I don't, please, sir. I want to know, are they Nigerians?
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Mr. Mike, would you like to...
Yeah, well, you see, from you see, following the collapse of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, there's this proliferation of arms shifting down to the south, which is Nigeria, Niger, and Chad. Mm. But the question is, we are not bordering Libya.
Libya. Mm-hmm.
The other countries before Nigeria.
That's right.
So why is the constitution in Nigeria? That's the question people should be asking. How did they come in? There are a lot of conspiracy theories and listen. I don't believe, because I don't speak on what I don't have facts on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this will be imported into the country by some people for some
ulterior motive.
Reasons. Mm. I don't know. You see, as a lawyer and a security practitioner, I don't speculate. I look at those things as speculations, unless I have the facts.
Mm.
Then the question is, people cannot just come into the country. Foreigners cannot come into the country and be operating freely without the connivance and active participation of the locals. In Esplanade, for instance, you can come into the country under cover. Official cover or under like diplomats, you can come in and nobody will arrest you. But people will come under cover. So what I'm saying in effect is that these people who come into the country cannot be operating alone. They have local collaborators, and that's why we should not be treating this thing with ignorance. We should all go out of the oppression to root out these people, so that we can have our peace.
Right. Right. Let's take another call. Nigeria Info. I think we lost that call. Let's hang up quickly and take another. Good morning to you. We lost that as well. I'm going to drop the calls right now and take this comment on YouTube. This person, Olamide Oladile, says, government is pampering these terrorists. That's the truth. Military is not underpaid. Some generals are eating the funds. And that will segue into the question I said I was going to ask you about funding. There's been this allegation of corruption even in the military. Do you think that is a possibility, Mr. Mike? And if that is so, how inimical could this be towards the fight against insurgency?
You know why I laugh.
Why?
It's laughable because when people take a security agencies in isolation, what of inflation of contract? I'm not justifying it.
Yeah.
But there is corruption everywhere in the country.
Hmm.
You must admit that. Now, let me give you a typical scenario. Budget is made for the military.
Yeah.
If you see the humongous amount they say they approve for the security.
Hmm.
Now the question is, what percentage of this budgeted amount is released? What percentage is there for capital and recurrent?
Hmm.
Most of them, over 70%, are on recurrent payment of salary.
Hmm.
And I also laugh when people say the people are eating other people's salary. Like one government official said the other day that PDP was taking the people's salaries and eating.
Yes.
And I asked, has it stopped now? If it was, has it stopped now? The answer is no. And now the people who are supposed to carry out oversight, the National Assembly, who are supposed to carry out oversight on this budget, also want their farms to be greased before they give the little approval they give. And down the line, the one that is approved, the leadership of the various security agencies to also want to get their own. It's the question that I ask is very, or his observation is very correct. There's corruption, there's diversion of funds. You can see, I think it was in Zafara where we saw one man who was a general. $650 million cash. How do you explain that, for God's sake? And what happened to the man? Has he been jailed? Or what eventually happened? There is this protection, there is this vicious circle of people protecting other people because of corruption. So I think we need very drastic, we need to take very drastic action to fight corruption in this country. People steal what they don't need. And that's my worry. That's my anger. All this massive blind acquisition of money, what are you doing with it? What are you doing at the detriment of the people? And you are happy seeing your people dying and you are enjoying the loot from the country. Now, back to the issue of the way.
Right.
The man said, the minister said, he was asking for approval for 3.4 billion.
Right.
To buy equipment. Now, the government has come out to say that the company awarded that contract does not have the capacity to deal with it. A company that is less than 4 million, you are awarded 3.7 billion. So the issue of corruption too cannot be ruled out. But again, I think we would have lost something or look for another company that has the capacity instead of keeping quiet.
Right.
And now we are
here.
And nobody knows how long this is or when there's going to be the next attack. So it's quite unfortunate and very sad indeed.
Talking about the next attack, Mr. Mike, I like the fact that I have you on the show today because I have these tons of questions. Because I am particularly concerned, and I'm speaking now not as your interviewer, but as a Nigerian, I'm particularly concerned at the way we handle intelligence in Nigeria, because you find some stories in the media that are not supposed to be in the media. For instance, there is this story this morning, a very typical example, and it's not the first and it won't be the last, of imminent attack in Abuja, where soldiers are now being deployed to some... Please tell us whether I am overreacting, whether it's a normal thing to put out there to say that, okay, we put soldiers here because we hear that there's going to be an attack or something. Or it could be like some sort of warning to these assailants themselves to not approach. What to what end, really? Please educate me.
You see, the problem is that's mishandling of intelligence. If this correspondent was addressed to a particular agency and the agency decides to leak it, who is to blame? The duty of the SSS is very rare occasion you see them coming out to alert the members of the agency. It's very obvious and imminent that there is going to be attack to alert the members of the public.
Okay.
Otherwise, their responsibility is to alert the action agency. But how does the action agency, not only the action agency, even the executive, there are some, I'll give you an example.
Yes, please.
I was assistant director of special operations between 1996 and 1998 in Abuja here. Now, all the security reports submitted to government were compiled in the CSO's office, CSO to the president. It never got to the president.
Wow.
So you see that some of this is for political and some other external reasons. The intelligence meant for the president doesn't get to him. And people sit down on it. So who is to blame? That's why I'm happy that El-Rufai came out to say that we have the intelligence. There are intercepts on all these people, their discussions, their plans, and all this. So why are we wasting time? So answering you directly, the issue is mishandling of intelligence. Because if you go out and begin to give out, you create fear and panic in members of the public. That's why the SSS doesn't go out to tell people. But alert the various action agencies to take necessary action to avoid or postpone such action.
Right. Let's take one last call this morning on the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning to our guest. This is Master Ladipo.
Welcome.
Now, I want to ask, if we have machinery for election, and now there are constitution problems. Now we are still thinking of bringing machineries again to come and stop this insurgent. What will be the implication? Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you too. Mr. Mike, I guess his question is the implication of hiring machineries in the end, if that's the direction.
Well, I didn't quite get it to bring it there. So I have either machineries or machineries. You know, but the problem is, like I said, when we started, if every action has its own advantage and disadvantage.
Right.
Now, if we hired mercenaries in 2014 and were recording results, why did we stop it? They are not going to stay here in perpetuity. Once they come in, the mercenaries come in, and we make a success of this institution, they will be disengaged. But if they are also not meeting up our requirements, they will also be disengaged. So I don't see anything. If we continue to fight this in over 10 years, going to 12 years, and we're not, it's only a madman that will be doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Right.
So we should try a different method to see whether it will give us results.
Mr. Mike Ejiofor, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Lagos, that is our show today. But before we go,
this infomercial.
Yeah, so before we go, let me quickly inform us that Praise Jam is on, and you should be ready to be a part of Praise Jam. It's going down Easter Monday. That's April 18. Easter Monday, April 18. You can get your ticket here at Cool FM office, here at Nigeria Info office on Etimiyang 267. Etimiyang. You can also go to Aria Ticket. Aria is spelled with double Y. ariatickets.com to go get your ticket as well. It's going down at Eco Convention Center, where you have big names in the gospel music industry that are performing on the day. You can get your ticket for as low as 3,000 if you book online. If you book online, you can go get your ticket at ariatickets.com. And all at TFC outlets, you can go get your ticket there as well. So be a part of this celebration of life is the resurrection. The artists featuring on at the Praise Jam will be coming to the studio, and you'll get a chance to interact with them one-on-one starting today. So watch out for that one. Get your ticket now. Get it now. And we're also giving out free tickets, by the way. So you listen to all our shows and you'll be able to get your free ticket. Thank you all for being a part of the Morning Crossfire today. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. for the Morning Crossfire. You can find me on social media, Sheriff Quadri on Instagram, Sheriff Quadri on Twitter, and Sheriff Quadri on Facebook. Bye for now.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria.